Our next presentation and presenter, Nijiang et al. 2015 studies of plant growth promoting rhizobacteria for biological control of Moloidia incognita in cotton.
Thank you. Sure. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Nijiang. I'm a PhD student from Auburn University under the direction of Dr. Kathy Lawrence. Today, I'm going to talk about my 2015 studies of using plant growth promoting rhizobacteria for biological control of Moloidia incognita in cotton. First, I would like to give you a little bit of background of Rhunon nematode. Rhunon nematode is one of the most important plant parasitic nematodes on cotton production in the U.S. In 2014, cotton yield was about 16 million bales in the U.S. and the total loss of cotton due to Rhunon nematode was about 494,000 bales, which was 3.1%. And this map gave you a distribution of Rhunon nematode in the U.S. in 2010. The green arrow here represents where Rhunon nematode has been found and reported, and yellow arrow represents where Rhunon nematode has not been found, and white arrow represents where Rhunon nematode has not been sampled. So in this map, we can see Rhunon nematode has been found across the whole cotton belt. Cotton plants infected by Rhunon nematode can form galls on the roots. We can see the swollen galls on the roots in the picture. And in the galls, we can find white females inside, and each female can form 500 to over 1,000 eggs in it. When the moisture and temperature are favorable, those eggs can hatch into second stage juveniles. The second stage juveniles are infected. They can infect the cotton roots and feed on the roots, molt inside the roots, and become mature females and cause the damage again. So in order to manage Rhunon nematode, our group spent a lot of time from 2012 to 2015 and trying to develop a new way of using plant growth promoting rhizobacteria to control Rhunon nematode. This flowchart can give you a general idea what we did in the past few years. From 2012 to 2013, we screened about 700 plant growth promoting rhizobacteria on paralysis of the Rhunon J2 in vitro using 96 well plates. And in among those 700 strains, only a few can be used in my dissertation. So in 2014, we moved 10 elite PDPR strains from those can be used in my dissertation to the greenhouse. And basically, we look at the potential of reduction in the nematode population and promotion of plant growth on cotton. In 2015, based on the greenhouse results, we moved 6 individual bacterial strains, PDPR strains, and 2 combinations into the microplot and field trials. And this table just to give you an example of the individual screening results. In this table, I have listed 17 PDPR strains within 9 different species. All these 17 strains can paralyze more than 60% of Rhunon J2s, which are significantly different from water control. And those highlighted in orange also show similar effects as abamectin on paralysis of the Rhunon J2s. And this table just to show you a greenhouse result we did in 2014. Those orange numbers highlighted here are plant parameters, including plant height, shoot fresh and dry weight, root fresh and dry weight. Those highlighted in orange are higher than the rest of them. And from this table, we can also see strain AP52 can reduce X per gram of roots in the greenhouse. So based on those results, we moved 6 PDPR strains, including AP136, 52, 209, 283, 278, and 279 into the microplot and field trials in 2015. And the objective of my study here, The objective of today's talk is going to evaluate the biocontrol potential and plant growth promoting of the 6 bacillia strains and 2 combinations of Rhuno Nematodine cotton in the microplot and field conditions. Then look at the material methods. We conducted our microplot trial in Plant Science Research Center at Auburn University, here marked in blue stars. And we also conducted our field trials in Prattville Agricultural Research Unit with a soil type of sandy clay loam, and also conducted in plant breeding unit with a soil type of clammy loamy sand. In both microplot and field trials, we used exactly the same 11 treatments, including 6 individual strains, 2 combinations, and we also used Pancho Votivo, Abamectin, and water as controls. So for the microplot experiment, we used RCBD design with 11 treatments and 6 replications for each treatment. We used 7 gallon pots filled with non-infested soil from plant breeding units. We used a susceptible cotton variety Fabamax 1944 for the trial, and in each pot we planted 4 cotton seeds and inoculated with 10,000 root node eggs. And on each seed, we also dripped with 1 ml of bacterial cell suspension with a concentration of 10 million CFU per seed. At 40 days after planting, we took the samples, we measured the plant height, shoot fresh weight, and root fresh weight. Also extracted root node eggs and counted at 40 days, at 48 days after planting. Then the seed cotton were harvested at 136 days after planting. For the field experiment, we also used RCBD design and 11 treatments with 5 replications for each treatment. And we arranged the experiment in 2 row plots, 7 meter long, with 0.9 meter row space, and blocks were separated by a 6 meter wide galley. We also used Fibromax 1944 for all the field trials. And in each row, we planted 100 cotton seeds and bacterial cell suspension with the same concentration as we use in the microplot were applied as the inferior spray in the field. So at 40 days after planting, we took the samples, we measured the plant parameters including plant height, shoot fresh weight, and root fresh weight, also extracted root node eggs from the roots, and also harvested the seed cotton at 142 days after planting. All the data collected from the microplot and field trials were analyzed in SAS 9.4 using PROGLIMIX procedure, and means were separated by Turkish method with p-value less than 0.1. Now let's look at the results. First, look at the plant height and plant biomass, including shoot fresh weight and root fresh weight at 48 days after planting from the microplot. The bars here represent plant height, and line graph represents plant biomass. From this graph, we can see plant height and biomass were similar among all the treatments. However, we did see some increasing in plant height and biomass when treated with strain AP52 and AP283 and AP209. Then look at the seed cotton yield at harvest and nematode population at 48 days after planting. So bars represent seed cotton yield, and line graph represent nematode population. So from this graph, we can see the seed cotton yield was similar among all the treatments. And then the nematode population, we can see that strain AP52 and Abamectin significantly reduced nematode population at 48 days after planting. Then look at the results from the field. We did see some significant difference. First, look at the plant height and biomass in plant breeding units and Prattville Agricultural Research Units. Bars represent plant height and line graphs represent biomass. So from both graphs, we can see that strain AP209 can significantly increase plant height in both locations. But the biomass was similar among all the treatments. Then look at the seed cotton yield at harvest and nematode population at 40 days after planting in both locations. So we did see significant difference among the treatment from both locations. So from the first field, the seed cotton yield was similar among all the treatments. However, these strain AP209, AP52, and abamectin did increase seed cotton yield. And also, strain AP209 can significantly reduce the nematode population at 40 days after planting. In the second field, the control abamectin significantly increased seed cotton yield. And the strain AP52, 278, and the combination abamectin plus 52 plus 283 significantly reduced nematode population. So in conclusion, in the microplot, strain AP52 significantly reduced Roux-Null nematode population, which is similar to abamectin at 48 days after planting, and also supported the third highest yield in seed cotton. In the field, strain AP209 significantly increased plant height at 40 days after planting in both locations, and also significantly reduced the nematode population in plant breeding unit. And strain AP52, 278, and the combination significantly reduced nematode population in Prattville agricultural research unit. So in both locations, we can see those PDPR strains did increase the seed cotton yield except strain AP278. Based on those results, we think strain AP52 and strain 209 are very promising candidates for Roux-Null nematode management in the field. Thank you. I would like to take your questions. All those PDPR isolates are provided by Dr. Joe Klopper's lab. They isolated from different locations, different crops. First, they just want to look at the plant growth promotion. And then they found some of those strains can use as a biological control on many like fungal disease and bacterial disease. Then they want to see if those PDPR strains also can have some biocontrol potential on nematode disease. But the detailed information about those bacteria, I do not know. Yeah, thank you. Yes.
What was the water frequency?
Just regular water from the tap water.
Did it have nematodes?
No.
So you had a water frequency with no nematodes?
You mean the microplot or the...
You didn't define what water was. What is water? What are water
frequencies? Yeah, for all the treatment, we inoculate, all the pots were inoculated with 10,000 eggs, Roux-Null eggs, we did a microplot trial. But the control, the water control is just to drip a mill of water, tap water on the seed.
Okay, that's so it. We had nematodes, but
yes,
no control.
Yeah, no control, yes.
Okay. Did you have any plots out there that had no nematodes, using the reference, so you knew how much yield loss you actually
had? We do have some border rows that has no nematodes, but I didn't look at that data. Yeah. Yes.
So based on your controlling tap water,
mm-hmm.
your bacterial cells were suspended in tap water then?
Yes. Yes. Yes, sir.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.